Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
So all in all, it wasn't a good day because very early on in the day, there was a story that broke of 13 people who have died, 12 of which were pupils and one a driver of a Scholar Transport minibus taxi. Really, really tragic. Here's the most tragic part of this, because for me, 19 children were in the Scholar Transport. It just cannot be. 19 children were in the Scholar Transport. I'm told that there is a family that's lost four children at the same time. On the line with us is Basil Manuel. We usually speak sometimes under better conditions. You're on the line with us representing NAPTOSA, Executive Director thereof. Good evening and welcome, Basil. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, and good evening to yourself and the listeners.
What a tragic story. Really, what a tragic story. I mean, where do you begin? How do we get here, Basil?
It is so tragic, and at first, just sympathizing with the families, I can't even begin to imagine a family losing four children. I can't begin to imagine the trauma at the school and in the community where these children come from. But how do we get here? At first, you know, there are so many of our children that are pedestrians, walking, and I'm not talking about in-town short distances. They are walking long distances to school. Mm-hmm. In addition, parents then think the safer mode would be transport, and it's, of course, public transport. Unfortunately, few parents even realize how full those transport modes become. Mm-hmm. Because they go to work early, they don't see what happens. And then, of course, there are two stories playing out here. Mm. The one is about driving, and the one is about possible recklessness, and we don't know how this happened. But the other one is 19 children in a little vehicle. Mm-hmm. And that is why the toll is so high. But is this an unusual occurrence? And tragically, it's not. Yeah. Every day, there are dozens of children squashed into a vehicle. And if there's a little accident, there will be fatalities. That's tragic.
I mean, this is the scary bit, as you're saying. It's not unusual. This happens, you know, quite often. And we've had conversations where children have been in the back of a buggy and there's an overload there. So there's generally a problem. At the real center of this, Basil, where do you think we need to start addressing our attention? Because as you're saying, sometimes you hear parents say, well, actually, when the Scholar Transport collects my child, I don't see the 19 children. Maybe mine is the first or the second. There's a story about the fact that sometimes there's an exchange along the routes and these the drivers get to exchange children and all of that. And obviously parents are not aware of this. Or are they?
Well, yes and no. Sometimes the choices of cost drives you to accept the unacceptable.
Exactly, yeah.
Because if the driver can squeeze a few more in, then everybody pays a little less.
Yeah.
And so you shut your eyes to what you know is unacceptable. And you see, within that, other unacceptable things happen. You get children touching smaller children where they should not be. And we don't want to go down that line now, but those are some of the realities. Mm. I've seen a child in front of me, when I'm in the car immediately behind the buggy, fall out of a buggy when the door fell open. Fortunately, we had just pulled off from a traffic light, and it was the scariest moment of my life. And then, of course, there is this dropping off children at a central point, and they swap kids around so that one mode of transport goes in one direction. Because very often, when children are first picked up, they're going to more than one school. And it's an organized swapping. And that is what parents don't see. Now, how do we stop this? How do we curb this? And it comes back to to the quality of our policing.
Mm.
It does come back to an authority that needs to be more vigilant, because this is happening every day in every area and everybody turns a blind eye.
Basil, I mean, as a National Professionals Teachers Organization, you obviously, as the children get dropped off, you get to witness this, the school gets to see this. Is there, you know, engagements with the parents to say, look, guys, the transport that brings your children, we're concerned about it. Maybe sometimes it's not an overload, but maybe the car itself shouldn't be on the road.
We've had incidents like that, and I'm talking from my experience as a principal, where we had a regular quarterly meeting with drivers that brought children to school to encourage things like the music can't be blaring such that you can't even discipline kids that are saying things that are out of line, etc. Children can't be hanging out of windows. Children can't be dancing that the whole vehicle is rocking, etc. And we try to do that. But you can only see what happens at the beginning and at the end. And we even tried a prefect system within the transport. But even that becomes problematic. And I must say, a lot of schools try a lot of things. But, of course, when the transport comes closer to the school, the music goes down, etc., and you don't see that. And if the school does make a fuss about the numbers, the teachers become afraid because it is the teachers policing this. And you are then now putting the teachers in the front line with people that can sometimes become aggressive. So you've got to make certain choices. And rightfully, our very members say, is that really our job to be in the front line? And the very traffic police say, you know, we can't be permanently stationed at a school. And you understand that as well, because there just aren't enough to go around. So it's a difficult thing, which we can only solve by people working together. It's the school, it's the community, it's parents and law enforcement. And even then, there will still be those that fall through the cracks. But we've got to try and limit this. We can't be sacrificing our children in this nature.
Something's got to be done. And as you said, you know, surely they move through streets and roads where there is supposed to be law enforcement. And, you know, maybe we need to have a better engagements with that. But we often react after the fact when we have now lost 12 pupils. And you know, we will be remorseful and all of that. I'm not sure, Basil, that beyond this point, things will really actually fall into place to prevent this from happening again.
You know, let me just add this, and I perfectly agree with you, because the next time we have this conversation will be after the next incident, and we can't have that. We're having a meeting with our new minister in the next few days, as all the unions are, and we are engaging.
Yes.
And this must be one of the things we put on, if not this agenda, a future agenda. We've got to talk about children. Whether it be in the Eastern Cape, whether it be in Gauteng, the Northwest, whatever, where children are walking for miles to school alongside dangerous roads, national roads sometimes, the overloading and the non-safe aspect, isn't there something that can be done on a bigger, better scale? We've got to try and address it. And we've got to look at a national solution to the problem. This is not a problem of one town, one street, or one province.
And perhaps we also have to face the reality that maybe parents just cannot afford the scholar transport. So which parent is going to raise their voice if they're unable to pay, you know, the scholar transport and they're in arrears? Nobody's going to say anything.
Does.
So we've got to maybe deal with that maybe it's just not, you know, it's not sustainable. People are not working. There are no jobs. There's no money. So what then has to happen?
We've got to find a solution within our realities. And one of our realities are these very things you've mentioned. We can't expect parents to pay. I commented now the other day on the almost 2,000 schools that the Eastern Cape is planning to shut down because they are not viable, etc. And whilst I understand a lot of that argument, I'm also saying, and so what happens with children that have to get to a school? Is there transport organized? Is it sustainable transport? We know that even in the very, very last financial year, it wasn't sustainable. We can't work in silos with these things. And this is what we want to put on the table, if for no other reason but to start the national debate.
Really appreciate your time this evening. Basil Manuel is NAPTOSA's executive director, and as you know, they're a national professionals teachers organization. I really would love to hear from you, especially for those of you whose children use the scholar transport. You know, I understand the difficulties, and maybe let's have this conversation. You know, what are you experiencing on the ground? What are you experiencing with your little ones? When you have 19 children in one minibus taxi, and it's difficult, and now you have 12 pupils who've passed on just like that. It really, really deserves a conversation. We have to talk about what has to be done. And I understand the difficulties that parents have. You know, there's no car, school is far, children are too small, they can't take themselves to school, even with the bus or a taxi. The list is endless. What then do you do? You can't afford better transport. What then do we do? So we do have to have this conversation.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.